I was actually pregnant when he passed away with our second child. He was really passionate about financial literacy. So when I had remarried and I was looking for that bank, and then I made one, it was really in my late husband's honor that I made that. So that's where the legacy piece comes in. And that's where it started. I was personally trying to preserve my late husband's legacy, but then we realized we can help other people preserve legacies too, in whatever way is meaningful to them.
Hey, it's Bobby, and you are listening to the Experts Roadmap, where we uncover insights gained along the journey to online business success. Our mission is for you to leave each episode better equipped to avoid mistakes and make wiser decisions on your own journey to growing your business to new heights. In today's episode, I'm joined by Amanda Bauer Frisch, founder of the Enduring Legacy Company. Our conversation, Amanda shares how a mission to honor her late husband's passion for financial literacy turned into a thriving Etsy business, and how that mission has now led to multiple successful online brands. Amanda highlights the importance of having a product that resonates with customers, embracing failures as learning opportunities, and what she's discovered after acquiring two companies. Let's dive in. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about you and what your company does?
I am a serial entrepreneur. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I started a company called Small Legacies. And we make piggy banks for children out of wood. And the banks have three compartments for give, save, and spend. And we engrave the children's name on top. And it's a really great keepsake item that has a special meaning for a lot of families. And I started making those wood banks in my garage at the beginning of the pandemic. And a few years later, my husband left his job to help me make banks. And then we eventually still couldn't keep up, and we had to find a wood toy manufacturer to do the work for us. So that has expanded now that we have our woodworking done elsewhere. We've been able to take on more projects, and we have another brand called Navy Paddles, which was a company that was based in our state, Wisconsin. And the owners were ready to retire, and another woodworking company that makes really beautiful awards for retirement gifts or military awards, things like that. And so we took over that company last year, and it's all an online-based company as well.
It sounds like your foray into entrepreneurship was a little bit accidental, and it sounded like you had started making these piggy banks, started to sell them on Etsy, and almost surprised you how successful they were.
Absolutely. That was just supposed to be my side hobby while I was a stay-at-home mom. And I really did not expect it to go beyond a small hobby for me personally. And the first Christmas season that I had my Etsy store, my phone would ding every time we got an order. And I remember we got so many orders. I remember driving home from picking up my son, and I would just sat in the car and cried because I didn't know how I was going to keep up with all of that. And how did my little hobby turn into a full-time job? But it happened really quickly and it felt really natural. So I'm glad I ended up here.
It sounds like it must have stretched you quite a bit to have all this demand and be like, okay, I need to step up and like really become a business owner.
Yes. And that's really where I found the passion, because there was a point where it's like, okay, I can keep this going at this hobby level for basically forever if I want. But is that really going to be fulfilling in the long term? And for some people, the answer might be yes, and that's great. For me, though, when I did some soul searching, I realized the answer was going to be no if I kept it at that hobby level. So then it was like, okay, then you need to step up and make this a real business. And there definitely was that kind of like no looking back moment.
What was that moment when you decided, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go full time and really make this a lasting adventure?
I was always the person that never knew what I wanted to do when I grew up. Although I went to college, I got a degree, I always had a really good job, but I still didn't really know what I wanted to do. So when I started the Etsy store, I was also taking graduate classes part-time. And there, that first Christmas season, I was taking a class, and I remember sitting down with my husband and saying, like, I cannot do both, be this business owner and take classes. And we decided that the classes could come later if I really wanted to return. But if I let down all those customers or close the store, then that may be the end of that journey. So that was one of those early deciding moments.
So can only do one thing. Let's get focused. So you have the Etsy store and it's growing naturally. So now it looks like you have your own websites. And how did you grow it from like that first initial Etsy store to now having your own brand and growing it in other ways?
I felt like having a successful Etsy shop was our proof of concept, so to speak. And the nice thing about Etsy, for those that don't know, is Etsy drives the traffic. When you have your own website, you are responsible for driving the traffic to your website. So we do still have our Etsy store, but now we also have our website, smalllegacies.com, for that brand. And we have also expanded, and now we have a book that we just released called Jeremiah Learns to Earn that goes along with the bank and as a story of a boy that gets, as he's earning money and he's using his bank. But when the Etsy store was growing and I had some money in the business, I hired a brand strategist to help me on a very part. It was somebody that was more than just help me create a logo, because in the very early days, I had paid somebody like $25 to help me create a logo. And you can do that pretty easily. But this person was a few thousand dollars, and it was really like taking my business more seriously. And I was able to use the funds out of the business to pay for that brand strategy and overall like brand development of Small Legacies. And then they also were able to help me with the Shopify site to get it up initially and get some basic functions on there. Some people are able to do that themselves. I just didn't have the tech skills.
A lot of people who have the intention of becoming entrepreneurs, they struggle with finding that offer that people really want. And that's their journey is I know I want to do this thing, but I need to find something that people want. And you kind of like stumbled into it like, oh, a lot of people on Etsy, like they really want this and they find it valuable. And so you had the opposite thing, because the entrepreneurs who are looking for that first initial offer, they do the brand in the wrong order. They try to do the logo stuff and all of that. It's like, whoa, 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 just wait until you have something of value that is getting that demand that you saw.
Yes.
And so it's interesting that like you did the offer part first, you found something that people really wanted, and then you were like, it's time to make this and expand this and build an actual brand behind it. And as you saw, a brand is a lot more than just a logo.
Yes. And I will say, I don't want to make it sound like I hit a home run out of my first time, because I was always somebody that kind of had a side hustle going. And I, at one time, wanted to be a financial coach. And I built a gorgeous website by myself. And I had an awesome logo. And if you build it, they will not come. Are they? That's not true all the time. I have learned the hard way that you can do all that other stuff first, but it doesn't mean that the customers are going to follow. So this time around, I was trying to be more strategic about it. And I didn't get a nice logo until I had sales. And I felt like I had proved that I had something.
You did it so smartly that second time that I was like, okay, it's interesting to hear you say that you had those initial ventures and you kind of did the same thing that I did, that all of us really do, is we think it's about the website or about the logo.
Yes, I promise it's not. So save yourself the money now.
All right, you had this business, it's growing. You work with a brand strategist to put together an actual brand and to expand into your own website and things like that. How have you continued to grow it, and what have been the obstacles along the way?
We were trying to decide, okay, our wood bank is so popular. Do we come out with new products for kids, or do we kind of lean into this financial literacy route? And that's where we felt like we could make the most impact, especially for the earliest learners, like K through second grade, because there's already a lot of great initiatives to help high school and middle school students learn financial literacy. But we felt like, okay, we could help lay some initial groundwork so that by the time the kids get to middle school and high school, these concepts don't sound so foreign and alien to them. So we have been developing a line of curriculum for teachers to be able to use in the classroom at very low or no cost to teach K through second grade. And that age group is not going to be learning about credit cards and credit scores and things like that, but they can learn about the fact that people earn money and you can give, save, and spend it. And there are some definite lessons that they can grasp and learn at that age. So that's what we're excited for that brand. For all of our brands, we're at this stage in business where we've grown beyond like just one or two employees. And we're certainly not a big business. I think we have 10 people now. I have a mindset that you can't get good at something until you've tried it a few times. So I think about that when we encounter an employee issue or when we need to make a hard decision or things like that. And it's like, you can't build a great company until you've been a good one. You can't run until you learn how to walk. So try to remember that too.
So true. What have been some of the surprising things you've learned as you went beyond just being a single owner business to now having a team of 10? Like, what have been your biggest lessons?
I would say I went into entrepreneurship and being a business owner and employer with maybe rose-colored glasses or a little more naive. And I think I've kind of learned the lesson the hard way a couple too many times that if something's going to break or fail, it's going to happen. So like, don't cross your fingers that it's not going to happen. And it's always better to take a few extra minutes now or do the harder work on the front end, because feels like entrepreneurship is just, you have to navigate so many challenges as an entrepreneur. And I don't think I realized that in the beginning. I thought it was just going to be rosy posy. And I love being an entrepreneur too, but it definitely has its challenges. And anyone who tells you otherwise is definitely lying.
Yeah. And it seems almost necessary, right? Because if you knew the full breadth of challenges that you would face in entrepreneurship, you might not start in the first place. So it's good to be naive, I think, in the beginning.
Absolutely.
It's interesting that you had that initial entrepreneurship experience before that in Etsy shop and learn some lessons there. So you go on to making this product, the Enduring Legacy Bank. What do you think made that initial product so successful?
I think because it was a product that I personally wanted. My oldest son was about the age that he was old enough to get his first bank. And I wanted to get him a give, save, spend bank that would look nice in our house. And I went on Amazon, like I do for a lot of things, and I only saw ones that were plastic, and I knew that, or had like a character on it that I knew he would outgrow in 6 months. And I was looking for a nice like wooden keepsake one that could grow with him. And I looked online and I just couldn't find one. So I am always been kind of a crafty person. So I decided to make one in my garage. And when it came out cute, and my husband said I should sell it online, I think it was successful because it was a product that I knew like had it personally had a demand and I couldn't find it. So I made one that I thought people would like, and thankfully they did.
So you've grown, you have a staff of 10 and several different brands now. How are you able to balance all the different ventures that you have going on while staying true to that initial vision?
Balance is so hard. I don't know the answer to that. I would just say that it's a constant struggle and it's always an ebb and flow. So I guess I have learned to just kind of ride the waves a little bit more rather than trying to control the waves. And so I have 3 kids, and a lot of parents know each school year, each semester kind of has like its new challenges or new schedule that the family has to adjust to. And it's the same in the business as well. Like each quarter has a different kind of flow to it at times. And especially as a small business, that flexibility is so important.
How do you think about the different brands and how they interact with each other? Do you build them all under one umbrella, or are you seeing them as separate entities?
So we call our parent company Enduring Legacy Co. And then, I mean, so legally, they are all their own separate companies. But we do consider ourselves one group, although we serve very different markets. What we feel unites us is the passion behind the customer coming to us. And whether that's for banks for their children, our customers are picking our product because they want that keepsake item that's going to be in the home for a long time. Same thing with the Navy paddles. They're really wanting to convey a legacy and those really honorable qualities that the people receiving the awards have shown. And then our last brand is a quilt and sewing store. Although we don't make any of the products, we sell the craft supplies. The people that come to our store and they're making quilts to give to their loved ones, it's the same passion that they're feeling when they want to pass down a quilt or make a gift for somebody. So we feel like if we can unlock that passion in our brands and help people honor, that's kind of what unites our brands.
Still early days of this growing Enduring Legacy's empire.
Yes. I just wanted to add to the name Enduring Legacy. The reason I even made that bank was because I was previously married and my husband passed away in 2017 from a genetic heart condition. He is the biological father of my two of my three children. I was actually pregnant when he passed away with our second child. And of course, that was extremely devastating. And he was really passionate about financial literacy. So when I had remarried and I was looking for that bank, and then I made one, it was really in my late husband's honor that I made that. So that's where the legacy piece comes in. And that's where it started. I was personally trying to preserve my late husband's legacy, but then we realized we can help other people preserve legacies too, in whatever way is meaningful to them.
A lot of the entrepreneurs that I talk to, they have a personal reason for starting their business and what they want to do. But they often find as they grow, many surprising impacts that they've made to their customers and the community. Has that been the same for you?
Yes. Like I said, when I first started making the bank, we have gotten so many comments and letters from our customers over the years about how special the banks have been to their family. And it sits on their kitchen table, or it has a place of honor in their home, that it really has proven to be like a way to just bring up finances in a neutral way, which has been really impactful. With Navy Paddles, we just actually got a video recording of a customer who had recorded her father opening, who was a Marine veteran, and he opened his award, and he was this big burly like Harley guy, and he started bawling when he saw the paddle. And that was so moving, because you don't see grown men like that cry, and seeing how much it meant to him is so impactful and really pushes you through on those days that you get the grumpy customers too.
As we all deal with in our businesses. I have to imagine, though, that the incredible impact that you're having through Navy Paddles and during Legacies and all the different brands, that you probably lean on the impact that you're having on those tough days when you're facing new challenges, whether that's with employees and staffing or just the normal pains of growth.
Oh, 100%. I have definitely learned the hard way, too, as an entrepreneur, is you really have to like celebrate those wins when you get them and hold on to those special moments, because there are a lot of moments that will kick you down as a small business owner if you let them. And having like that positive overall mindset is really going to serve people well in the long term.
So I have to ask you, what's next? How are you thinking about the next, you know, 6 months, year, 2 years of your business?
Great question. For us right now, what's next is stabilization. Because we grew so fast last year, we had the plan to acquire Navy Paddles. The quilt shop was definitely not in the plans, but we felt like it was a great fit when we looked at all the circumstances surrounding it. And so I told our team, like, I don't want this to be the last acquisition, but not for a while, just because we still have a lot of stuff to figure out.
From a small Etsy shop to now having acquired two companies, what are some lessons you've learned from that experience?
I see a lot of people that get too stuck in the details. And then I think they are afraid to make a decision or just start. Like, for example, creating a beautiful website for my financial coaching business and a gorgeous logo before I ever had a single customer. But probably because I was too afraid to really put myself out there and offer my services. I think people are afraid to fail as well. If you go in knowing that you're going to try your best and it might not happen exactly as you want, but you're going to learn something at the very least, and then you'll use the information that you've learned to make your next informed decision on how to move your business forward. You don't have to see five steps in front of you. You only really need to see one or two steps in front of you. And if you make those one or two small steps, then you can figure out what's going to happen next. You just need to make one small step and you can figure the rest out tomorrow.
I think there's probably a lot more latitude than you're giving yourself to play around and try things.
Yes. I recognize from my failed entrepreneur attempts in the past how I really was afraid to try things. And because what if I fail? And it's okay. You're probably going to fail at least once or twice or 100. Like Michael Jordan credits his success to missing 9,000 shots during his career. So you don't get good by never trying to take a shot. You get good by shooting your shot. And then if it doesn't work out, you learn and shoot it again.
I think I've always had this in the back of my head, though. I wonder if part of the problem is that we use the same word for a bunch of different things. Like, we use failure to describe a small little thing, a little mistake in your business, but also never making anything of your life.
Yes.
That's the same word for both of those things, except one is much different than the other. And a failure on the way to trying things and making mistakes and learning and growing is much different than just giving up.
Yes, we need to invent a new word for that.
So is there anything that you can share in terms of your lessons learned with acquisitions? Would you do it again? What would you not do again? What would you look for that maybe you didn't know to look for?
I want to be respectful because there was a challenging situation with one of the acquisitions. So I acquired two businesses. One of them had four employees and one had two employees. So small mom and pop type businesses that were both started by the founders. And I know from experience, when you start a company, it becomes another child. And even if you're making the decision to sell of your own free will, which both of them were because they were at a place in their life when they didn't want to have to run the day-to-day, stepping away from your baby is very challenging. And one of the owners of the previous company we had wanted to work with and had planned to work with after the sale for some consulting, and we wanted to keep them on the team throughout. And in the beginning, they would say all of the words that we wanted to hear. But then as time went on and as we were getting closer to the sale date, some of the true colors started to come out, and it became apparent that we would not be a good working match together long. We still wanted to acquire the company, but it became very clear that working together was not going to be realistic for the team and probably not healthy for the team, frankly. And so a few days after the acquisition, I actually had to terminate the previous owner from the company that they started, which was very difficult. And I definitely lost a lot of sleep over that because that was never my intention. But that person had decided that they no longer wanted to run the company that they started. And this decision was in the best interest of the company. So I was in HR for 15 years, and I don't want the company I own to have employees that are afraid to come to work because there's one employee that makes their life not great. So that was really tough. The other company that we acquired, the departing owner was in a much better mental health space to have a great transition and have like a really awesome working relationship where a nice transition could be facilitated. My advice is just to use your gut and to gauge the situation a little bit more closely.
Yeah, that sounds like really good advice and hard-won advice of having that tough experience of firing the previous owner. That'll make you step up as a leader, making those kind of tough calls.
Yeah, when it's a tough call, but it's the right call, it's a lot easier decision to make.
I'm curious how much that person would even have known they would react like that. If you build something and you don't realize how emotional you are about it until you have to say goodbye.
That's definitely something that I tried to keep, to give that person the benefit of the doubt through the whole process. We just would have had our red flags up a little bit more through the process if we had known the real reason why they were selling.
We want to believe the best in people. They're being honest and forthright, but that's not always the case. Learn some lessons for sure.
Yes. It's one of those things about perspective too. You know, it was a really hard few weeks that during that transition, but I had a company to run. I couldn't just like sit and cry in the corner about it. Like, I needed to just keep going. So try not to let yourself dwell on it too long, because it can easily happen if you let it.
And now you had staff and people that cover your responsibility. You had to take care of them.
Absolutely.
So Amanda, where can people find you online?
They can check out our website, enduringlegacyco.com. And on there, there's links to all of our brands. I also did a TEDx talk called In Defense of Participation Trophies that you can find on YouTube. And if anybody wants to debate me, feel free to send me a message, because I love to debate on that topic too. But yeah, you can check us out on YouTube or on enduringlegacyco.com.
And then any final notes you'd like to leave with our listeners?
No, thank you so much for having me on. And I hope one person can get a little bit of nugget from my story.
Hey, it's Bobby again. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Experts Roadmap. You can find the show notes for this episode by going to theexpertsroadmap.co. Again, that's theexpertsroadmap.co. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to hear from you. The best way you can show your support is by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to hear more episodes like this, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Thanks again for being here. I'll see you next time.